Our scripture reading from this morning is from Ezekiel, chapter 22.
What page is
that? 13:13 in mine. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. This is God revealing the condition of Israel at this time, and it's pretty sad. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion, tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds by them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you what you teach us. And we look now at this, the condition of Israel at this time. And Lord, we are so reminded of what's happening in our own nation, what's happening in the world today. It is so sad how we've turned our back on you and just taken the things that just a few years ago were looked down upon, and now we glorify them. So Lord, as we learned this morning in the book of Jonah, help us as a nation repent and turn back to you. We'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jeff.
Little departure from our series in concerning lessons in the life of David. And as I did a Mother's Day sermon for Mother's Day, we're going to do a little bit of a Father's Day sermon this morning. And you might be wondering, what does this passage have to do with Father's Day? But just before the passage that Jeff just read, in fact, as Jeff mentioned, the priest Ezekiel enumerates the sins of Israel. The sins that were, destroying them as a nation. God, through Ezekiel, says that they were guilty of bloodshed, guilty of trusting in everything but God, guilty of conspiracy, guilty of oppressing the weak, guilty of cheating one another, guilty of all kinds of sexual perversions. And literally, they had become a mockery to other countries near and far, because they had gone so deep and into these wicked ways. The end of verse 12, Jeff didn't read this, but there God says, he gives the reason why this was taking place. He says, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten me. And then in the passage that Jeff just read, God talks about the leadership in Israel, and how they were just as guilty of these things as the nation itself. And it kind of reminds me of our country. The United States is full of bloodshed, idolatry, conspiracy, oppressing of the weak, fraud, blatant sexual perversion, even in our leadership. In recent years, Representative Rick Renzi of Arizona was charged with 32 felony counts, including conspiracy, extortion, money laundering. He's found guilty on 17 of those counts. Representative Henry Riddell, a freshman Republican from Florida, was charged with cocaine possession. Former Louisiana Representative William Jefferson was indicted on 16 corruption-related charges. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan was convicted on 22 counts, including racketeering, bribery, extortion, money laundering, tax fraud. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was charged with numerous counts of fraud and corruption, including attempting to sell a U.S. Senate seat. Mark Sauter, representative and staunch advocate of abstinence and family values, resigned to avoid an ethics investigation into his admitted extramarital affair with a female staffer. Anthony Weiner, newly married U.S. representative, admitted to sending sexually suggestive photos to several women through his Twitter account. David Dreyer, representative, voted against a number of gay rights proposals, was found to be having sexual relations with his male chief of staff. And then, of course, right in our own White House, the Oval Office, former President Bill Clinton had an extramarital affair with an intern. These are our leaders. These are men. These are husbands. These are dads. Why is this happening? We have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. Now, while God has not made any promises to the United States of America as a nation, while the United States of America is not a chosen nation like Israel is, there is no doubt that the principle stands true. When a nation, when a community, when a church fellowship, when a family forgets God, sin and its consequences will be a natural result. Perhaps the saddest verse in this entire chapter is verse 30. Peek there for a minute. Verse 30, it says, this is God speaking. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. I found no one. What a sad statement. And not only is this a very sad passage of Scripture, and we find that God found no one in all of Israel who would stand in that gap, who would build, who would lead. We also, right in that verse, find exactly what God is looking for. Right in that verse, we find out exactly what God is looking for. It tells us what kind of man can make a difference. What kind of man can change the course of a nation, a community, a church fellowship, a family. And that is what this has to do with Father's Day. Before a man can change the course of a nation, he must be able to guide the course of his own family. And so that we, as men this morning, may be what God is looking for, using verse 30 as our starting place today, I want to look at three actions that God desires of men. And our subject this morning is the man that God seeks. While we're going to be looking at numerous other passages throughout the Bible this morning, if you want to stay right here in Ezekiel chapter 22, we will be referring to it several times. And the very first action that we find here that God desires is men who will lead. That's the first thing he's looking for, is men who will lead. In fact, this whole chapter is referring to the leaders in Israel and how God was unable to find even one man who could lead for him in a godly fashion. What is godly leadership? Well, I guess maybe in its simplest form, it is taking the initiative to lead in godly service. Now, that might actually even sound like an oxymoron, to lead in service, kind of like a dark light or living dead. deafening silence. We're talking about a leading server here, or a serving leader, however you want to look at it. That is what God is looking for. Leaders like this, first of all, they will lead in the home. They will lead in the home. In fact, 1 Timothy 3:4 talks about leaders. He must be one who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission with reverence. How does he do that? He's in all submission with reverence to the Lord. That's a servant leader right there. The best leaders are first the best followers and servants. He is actually showing his family, his children, the way. He exemplifies what submission and reverence is as he follows the Lord. And if he is following Christ, his family will be more apt to follow him because he will lead as Christ leads, in love, with humility, and to the glory of God. Really, the first place that our wife and children should go for spiritual and life counsel after the Word of God is to Dad. Is to Dad, because he is following the Lord. God desires men who will lead at home. Also, they will lead at church. And I'll just tell you, I am talking to believers specifically today. 1 Timothy 3:5 says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" And by implication, right there, we learn that just as men should lead at home, they should lead other believers. Leadership starts in the home, but should expand to the church family. Our home is our training ground. But just as I pray that each of us becomes a beacon, a spiritual, godly beacon of leadership in our home, I pray and God desires that we would be beacons in our local church. I pray that we would be one that other believers come to for spiritual counsel. God desires men who will lead a church. Also, they will even lead their neighbors. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside." Now, obviously, these qualities can apply to all Christians, men and women alike. But men and fathers, we are called to lead in this. We must be the first to set the standard of godliness so that it's evident not only to our family, not only to our church body, but to those on the outside, that they might be convicted of their sin, the righteousness of God, the judgment that will befall them if they do not follow our lead. Leading the lost to Christ will not be accomplished if we so blend into the world that we look the same. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, both men and women are to lead in certain areas. We should all be lights. We should all be examples of Christ in the world, in the church, at home. But God is looking. He's looking for men who will fill this role and responsibility. Men that will stand up and lead by example. And getting started may be easier than you think. I'm wondering if there's somebody that would be willing to help me hand these out for a minute. Okay, that's the example right there. That is exactly what the Lord is... I really don't need these handed out. I just used you as an illustration of leadership right there. And not a single man got up. I think we need to close in prayer. No, anyway, but that's what I was... man or woman. I was looking for somebody that could illustrate what leadership is, because sometimes it's as simple as being the first one to take the initiative in service. Leadership is simply being the first one to go. Thank you, anyway, for filling my illustration. Men, God desires that you and I take the initiative in spiritual service at home, at church, with our neighbors. He is looking for men like that. God desires men who will lead. The second action that God desires is men who will build. Men who will build. Ezekiel 22:30 again says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall." Make a wall. Now, even though God, through Ezekiel, is speaking about the city of Jerusalem, he's not speaking about the literal wall that encircled that city. In fact, the way this verse is worded, it says that God is looking for a man that would be and build a spiritual wall of godly strength, a hedge of protection. When I went down to Peru a few years ago, I noticed that there were some properties that had 14 to 16 foot walls around them. And what I learned was on the inside of those walls were wealthy people who could afford to construct a wall to protect their families, because the crime rate is a little higher down there. Okay, but they would build these walls and even put razor wire on the top. And it was to keep out the evil. It was to keep out those who might do evil against their families. And as godly men, husbands and dads, that is what we are to be for our families, for our fellowships, for our communities, for our country. And note that a wall doesn't consist of just one part. There is a foundation, there is mortar, there are many blocks that make up a wall. And as leaders, we are to not only be that wall, but build that wall. Listen to how Paul puts it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul says, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That is the building of a godly spiritual wall. God seeks men and fathers that would build. How should a man build today, according to the scriptures? Well, first of all, they will build on the foundation of Christ. They will build on the foundation of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, he says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Everything pertaining to life begins with and must be laid upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Who He is, what He has provided, what He has taught, what He has exemplified. Until a person has Christ, everything that is built will be worthless, temporary, and eventually destroyed. In Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." They will build on the foundation of Christ. And secondly, they will build with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 likens the Word and work of God to gold, silver, and precious stones that will stand the test, even under fire. Actually, under fire, they become even more pure. All of the waste materials are boiled off. Well, here in Ezekiel, verse 18, same chapter here, Israel is likened to the dross. That is the waste material that is burned off during the purification process. Let me read you verse 18. says, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead. In the midst of the furnace, they have become dross from silver. Again, dross is the impurities. That is what they have become. They distorted the word of God, and their works were sinful. And God was and is looking for men to build upon the firm foundation, using the preciousness of His word to do it. As men, as fathers, the word of God must be what we as builders use to build our families. Men who build, they will build for the glory of God. The end of verse 27 says that Israel did much of what they did for dishonest gain, or really selfish gain. They did it for themselves. Verse 12, they even extorted from their own neighbors for profit. God is seeking men who will build not for selfish reasons, but for God's glory. And they will build up the family. Here again in Ezekiel, Israel looked lightly upon the family. In fact, if you want to peek at verse 7, I won't read the whole verse, but you can find it in verse 7. It says that they made light of mother and father. Israel looked lightly on the family. Gloria Steinem, you recognize that name, leader and spokesman of the feminist movement, once said, "A woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle." That's how important she saw men, fatherhood. A woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. You remember our Mother's Day sermon, we talked about how the world views motherhood. One of the quotes, worldly quotes that I gave you, definition of a homemaker is a lame excuse for a job title that housewives give themselves so they can sound important. That's how the world sees parenthood. That is how the world sees motherhood and fatherhood today. We're taking it very, very lightly. That is what Israel was doing. They were guilty of it, and many are guilty of it today. Men, the men and fathers that God is seeking will build the family. They will see the importance, the criticalness of it. In Ephesians chapter 5, it tells husbands to love, wash, and nourish their wives with the word of God. Ephesians 6:4 tells fathers to bring up children in the training and admonition of the Lord. The men God is seeking will not take lightly the family, but will build it up. And they will also build up the brethren. It is all about building. God is looking for builders. Israel tore down. Ezekiel 22:27 talked about their leadership being like wolves, tearing at the prey, shedding blood, destroying people. Romans 14:19 says to us, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify or build up one another." God is seeking men and fathers who will build. They will build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, using the word of God as their building materials so that God may be glorified and the family and brethren will be blessed. Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 3 says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does," or whatever he builds, "will prosper." God is seeking men and fathers who will lead, men and fathers who will build, and then the last action is men who will stand. Men who will stand. Ezekiel 22:30 again. He says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. This, too, is interesting because it's not just talking about taking a firm stance. It talks about standing with a purpose, and here's the purpose. It's talking about taking a firm stance before God and on behalf of others, standing in the gap. God was going to judge the land of Israel because of their sin, but he was looking for a man that would stand and intercede and change the course. How would such one stand in the gap and intercede? What would the man God is looking for do? Well, at least three things. They will stand through prayer. Men, fathers, we need to be men of prayer. Israel had forgotten God. We must not. In Genesis chapter 18, beautiful example of this kind of prayerful intercession, Abraham stood in the gap between God and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he prayed to God to spare at least some. And as a result, Lot and his family who lived there were spared because Abraham interceded through prayer. He did this for perhaps the two wickedest cities in the Bible. He stood in the gap between God and these two wicked cities. Yet how often do we pray for our country, our community, our fellowship, our wife and children? God is looking for men who will stand through prayer. And they will stand also through proclamation. Standing for God's word by openly proclaiming it, even in the face of wickedness. Even if the whole world believes there is no God, even if the whole world believes there is no sin, nor judgment, nor need for salvation, even if the whole world welcomes, accepts, embraces, and even loves their sin, the men God is looking for will stand and proclaim the truth anyway. I fear sometimes I am more like Jonah. Mark's been teaching through Jonah in Sunday school, and Jonah just very reluctantly proclaimed the word to the city of Nineveh. It too was wicked, and he was just tired of it. He wanted God to just destroy it. He said, I'm sick and tired of the evil. Just rain down your justice on it, Lord. Yet through his proclamation of God's word, it changed the course of that entire city for a time. God is looking for men who will unreluctantly stand in the gap through the proclamation of his love, his mercy, his grace, his truth, his justice. And it must start in our home. Now, most times in the home, children will not be excited when dads begin to proclaim the word of God to them. But do it anyway, even if it's met with a roll of the eyes, which means, oh, here it comes, another sermon from Dad. But I know of a parent who, when their son was dealing with a problem, and with a distressed look on his face, he came to his dad and he said, Dad, I need a sermon. In the moment, Dad was confused. He wasn't sure if he was kidding or not, okay? But as his son shared his issue, what he was looking for was, Dad, tell me what God's word has to say about my issue. He was asking Dad to proclaim God's word to him. Stand in the gap between me and God, Dad. God is looking for men and fathers like this. They will stand through prayer, they will stand through proclamation, and they will stand through pattern. They will be the example. Simply, they will model what they pray and proclaim. I've shared this before. When I was growing up, my dad told me, he said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs. My dad did not do drugs. He did smoke. He did drink. Guess what? As I grew up, I smoked. I drank. Never did a drug. Never did a drug. You've heard the saying, what we do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Have you heard that before? We need to stand being that pattern. God is looking for men and dads that will stand through prayer, proclamation, and through their pattern of life. So in closing, one last time this morning, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me and on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I'm wondering today, though, if God would find any like that here at River Valley Bible Church. Would he find any men, any fathers, any grandfathers that would be willing to lead, build, and stand so that they might guide the course of their family, their fellowship, their community, their country? Is there anyone here that would be willing to lead, to build, and stand right now? Literally. Praise the Lord. We need that. Don't sit down yet. Those that were standing, stand back up for a minute. In a world that takes lightly father and motherhood, are there any women, mothers, grandmothers that will stand or stand by their men, or even the men of this congregation? Thank you. Well, I will lead, build, and stand in the gap with you, and I will pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for the times that we haven't. Forgive us for the points in our life where we were bad husbands, bad fathers. I pray, Lord, that we would diligently seek to be those leaders, builders, prayer warriors that would stand in the gap. We give you our lives. Pray, Lord, for your prompting, your leading, your guidance. Teach us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a little soap in my eye too, Mark.